You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm Jay, I'm the bass and vocals of Exit Sign.
I am Rory, the guitarist of Exit Sign.
And my name is Kevin, I play drums for Exit Sign and Corey.
It's crazy to see how fast the scene is growing, and I got you fellas up here because you guys are growing as well. You've been together for less than a year. You're
since
playing
March, right?
Yeah, I think around March.
I think March is when we put in the plug and said, oh, let's just, I mean, there's a little bit of backstory there too, but like when March, we just all came together and we're like, you know what, let's just hire out a room in D-Base in Morningside and see how much noise we can make in like the 3 hours that everyone gets. And we just like jammed two chords over and over again and made a song from that. And we're like, you know what, this could work. And lo and behold, it just kept going on and on and on.
It's a great segue into my next question. How would you describe Exit Sign's sound? Who is Exit Sign? What is Exit Sign? What do you guys do?
I guess from what I've heard, because I couldn't tell you like what, I can tell you influences, but like I feel like influences are not really like the genre of what we are. But like if you like your Sonic Youth, if you like your Swans, if you like that alternative like noisy rock stuff, we do that. Some people have called us noise rock, but we've played a lot of metal shows as well. Like, I think we started in metal shows predominantly, like with Swamp Cult Records shows and stuff like that. I mean, I always love Ginge, the guy who runs Swamp Cult. Shout out to them, they're awesome. But then we kind of branched off, didn't we? Like, get into more alternative, not indie rock, but like definitely not indie rock, but way more the alternative rock scene.
It's like psychedelic jam music in a way. I think the music has a lot of like improvisational qualities, so sometimes when we play a song there's always like slight variations, and sometimes I do wonder if people notice that, and it's quite the challenge because you want to capture like the essence of the song, but then at the same time you do want to keep it fresh every time. But I think in terms of genres, personally I think some of our songs would be kind of like a doom gaze sound, so it's kind of like a mix between shoegaze and doom metal, so it's quite colossal like in size, and the texture is actually quite it's very like vibrant, and juxtaposes really nicely with the heavier guitars,
which is great,
and the because, loud drums as well.
Oh yeah, which is great because two of us are jazz musicians at heart.
Yeah, you know, I like studied jazz, and now I play psychedelic metal music with this band. It's great. I get to play much louder than I would ever be able to. So, yeah. The genre of music, I'd say, I think Kevin hit it on the head. Doomgaze, or some people say, like, what is it? Psych metal music?
Psych metal, noise rock, psych noise. I don't know. I said heavy psychedelic first. I reckon that kind of fits it.
I think that's one of the things I really love about this band, is that, like, no single song sounds exactly the same. I mean, yeah, tonally there's like some similarities, but structure-wise, every song so far is quite distinct from the other. And it's actually quite the challenge to keep like, I would say like innovating with like the tools we have and like the knowledge we've gained so far.
I keep getting new instruments.
And yeah, this guy, he's addicted to buying guitars and hopefully more pedals.
More pedals?
Yes.
Oh man.
Don't get me wrong, I love your Big Muff. Yeah.
I'd love to ask you, what have you guys been working on? I understand there is a potential single in the works. We don't have to talk about release dates if I'm getting too ahead of myself.
We're constantly moving. We're doing a lot of shows, especially compared to nearly a year ago where it was us reaching out a lot. We are now being reached out to, and that's just because, you know, you keep putting out stuff and you get back what you put out. And in terms of recording, we really want to get into that this year. We've kind of made a solid foundation of a presence, and we really want to capitalize off that by having this single. And the single is a song called Kaiju, which is probably one of our heavier tracks.
I would say so.
It's one of the most explosive, I'd say. Like the story behind that song is that we've had a couple of songs that start with you know, just nice, gentle guitar chords. And for a change, we were like, okay, how about we just go, like, you know, guns blazing from the get-go.
0 to 100.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that I love how the track has such an explosive start, but at the same time, it contrasts with the really beautiful and, like, psychedelic sounding, you know, middle section.
Nah, totally.
Yeah, and then, like, it comes back, and then, yeah, it's hard to explain, but...
What's it like playing all these shows, yet still being such a young band? I mean, like we said before, just less than a year ago, you guys formed. You've played so many gigs in the meantime. What's that been like?
It's kind of surreal, to be honest. Okay, the first time that I started playing music was with our guitarist, Rory, and I think it was year 9.
Yeah, we started our band in high school.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even Exit Sign at the point until we met Jay. And yeah, back then I think I used to kind of like daydream about playing live shows. And it's quite interesting. They say, oh, manifest what you desire or some sort of that nonsense. Yeah, but I think there is some truth to it. If you're kind of like keen on doing something and then eventually you kind of align yourself to find, you know, other people or, you know, other qualities or habits that helps you get to that point where you're actually playing live gigs. But yeah, in terms of the experience itself, definitely nerve-wracking the first time, but it does definitely get easier as well. The more you play, the more you get used to, you know, you get used to the whole vibe, and you kind of gain a new comfort in, you know, trusting your bandmates, and even if you make mistakes, you can just keep going.
No one cares.
Yeah, it's
no one cares.
Barely noticeable, and most of the time I would say it's just a variation rather than a mistake.
I'd say for the first year, or like, well, we're not even at the first year, but the first like half year even, we had to get our name out there by doing shows. And I'd say for any new band, you have to get like a lot of, like a decent amount of shows under your belt. That's why I'm always excited to see new bands, especially because it makes me feel like I'm seeing what people saw from us. And that's a weird thing to say because, you know, we've done enough shows where people are recognized as who we are and that they know what they expect. But when it comes to a new band, it's like a fresh experience. But in order to get that as a band yourselves, you just have to do shows. And that is a fact, it's a staple. It's something that everyone has to go through. And of course, luck is a big thing in that, but like, you're gonna have a bad show, you're gonna have a great show, you're gonna have the shows with no low crowd, you're gonna have a huge show. Getting that experience really elevates the satisfaction and the musicality. And you need to have that variance as well to get those shows. And we've kind of learned that just the hard way without anyone really telling us. I had no idea about anyone in the music scene other than just, oh, I've been to shows. And so starting out in that way, you just have to get head first into this pool of just so many things going on. And it can be overwhelming. And even to this day, sometimes I can attest for myself that it can get overwhelming for me. But you just need to know know yourself, be very self-aware with the limits that you can get as a band, play a lot of shows, but also know when you don't have to. Because yeah, sometimes, like, there are bands out there that play 4 shows a month, and I'm like, how the hell do you do that? Like Boondocks, like how do they do that? I don't get it.
Shout out Boondocks.
Man. Yeah, shout out Boondocks. Your show at Big Fan was amazing. But like, I don't know how they do that. And then even if you do shows now and again, it's like, oh wow, you can, if they draw a crowd and you do shows like here and there, that's also impressive. So you have to find the middle ground of like what works for you, how the audience interacts.
Honestly, I think the experience that you gain with your band when you first start out, it's all to do with like, you know, how much do you trust each other? How much do you trust in how much practice you've done? Like, yeah, as you said, like you can have mistakes happen during shows and it's like, well, part of the experience, it's like there's meant to be lows and highs. And I think some of the lows we've had have just been funny stories afterwards, you know, and the highs are amazing. Like you leave the show, you feel great, you feel amazing. It's like something you can't get anywhere else except for being on stage.
And then sometimes you have to rebuy your cables because someone collapsed onto your face first.
Yeah, exactly. Like someone has supermanned, like Falcon punched my pedal board while I was playing. And it's like, now thinking back at it, it's really funny. And I can talk about that. But in the moment, it's like, you feel like someone's just ripped your heart out of your chest. And you're like, well, how am I going to finish the show? But at the end of the day, it's like all part of the experience is great.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.